Well, there are many gems of truth that are to be found in the Word of God. And one of those true gems is the well-known passage in Galatians, the 6th chapter, and verse 10, giving instruction to God's people to be applied by everyone of God's people. And so Paul says to the Galatian Christians, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. In just a few moments, we're going to be talking at some length about the context that is before us, this idea of doing good to all men. Right now, I want to call your attention, though, to just one word that is found in the text, and that is the word opportunity, as you have opportunity. I think without a shadow of a doubt that almost every one of us would not have a great deal of difficulty in explaining what this word opportunity means. A favorable time or a favorable set of circumstances for us to act upon. I found in my research a rather interesting derivation of the word, how it got started. Can you picture the old-time ships and the old harbors of day gone by? You know, maybe those sailing ships had been out in the water for months and possibly even years at a time, and all of the men are eager to get to port. But when they come and they arrive just outside the harbor, do you know what they've got to do? They've got to wait for the favorable time. And evidently, the Latin term is opportu, opportunity. What were they waiting for? They were eagerly waiting for the opportunity to get home. But they had to wait for the favorable tide that would bring their ship right into the port. That's what opportunity is. Now, what is our lesson for tonight? Our lesson is God gives us many opportunities. All of the opportunities that God gives to His people, to you and to me, are good. They're for our good. They're for the good of others. What else can we say about opportunities? Well, some opportunities are presented to us all the time. There are some of these Bible opportunities that are presented that we're going to say they're daily opportunities. Always the time to do this or to do that. But you know, there are some opportunities that are almost just like that sailing ship out there waiting to get into port. They only come about occasionally. And we know about some opportunities from our own personal experience that maybe it's one once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Have you heard that? Well, salespeople tell us that all the time. They say this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. But, you know, there are such opportunities. There are opportunities that are presented to the children of God that may never come again. There are rare opportunities. Now, the whole point of the lesson, I suppose, is to simply say, whenever God gives us opportunities, whether they are daily opportunities or whether they are opportunities that just come along once in a while, maybe just once in our lifetime, take advantage take advantage. The scripture, of course, is going to tell us redeeming the time. And sometimes in the scripture, that phrase redeeming the time is simply going to be translated opportunity, take advantage of the opportunity. What do we have opportunity to do as Christians? Starting right here in Galatians 6 and verse 10, we have an opportunity to do good. Have an opportunity to do good. Now, this is a God-given opportunity. It is an opportunity that is afforded to Christians. Indeed, it is not stretching the case or exaggerating at all to say, well, in question form, who is best suited to do good in this world? The answer is Christians. You are the best suited people in your neighborhood, in all of the world, to do good. Who are we to do good to? We're to do good to everybody, aren't we? Our King James Bible will go ahead and translate it, do good to all men. Do good to all men. That should be the attitude that Christians have. Who do we want to do good to? Well, we want to do good to everybody. That's going to include those who are friendly toward us, but do you know it also includes our enemies? We're going to want to do good to them. I think maybe sometimes, though, that the world misses it, and maybe even the Christian may miss it, whenever he thinks something is good when really it is not. I remember on one occasion when I corrected a man because of his foul language, and do you know what he said to me? He said, I thought you were a Christian. And what did he mean by that? Oh, his concept of a Christian is that you did not correct people, that you did not try to get them to change their lifestyle. So his concept of doing good would certainly be different than what the Bible teaches. What is our safeguard? What is our standard? How do we know what it means to do good? Well, we have to let God's Word tell us. We have to let God's Word tell us. Sometimes doing good does involve correction. Sometimes doing good does involve discipline. But always, whether it is an outpouring of help, of benevolence, of a friendly smile, whatever it may be, a cheerful attitude, we are to do good to all. Now, there is a qualifier here also in Galatians 6:10, isn't it? When it says, especially unto those of the household of faith. You're my brothers and sisters in Christ. I am to prefer you. You are the one that I am especially wanting to do good to and to do good for. Think of all of the things we have in common. We have a common salvation. We have a common work to do. We have a common goal to be reached. The very fact that we can say, you're my brother in Christ. You're my sister in Christ. That's just so full of meaning. Do good unto all, but especially unto those who are of the household of faith. Now, we had said something about opportunity that I want to remind you about right here concerning this matter of the good that you are to do. Don't put it off. Don't fail to take advantage of your opportunity, as it were. There are two passages of Scripture that I have marked down. First of all, Proverbs chapter 3. We've had such a good study in the book of Proverbs, and as Brother Salkel has noted over and over again, there are so many good applicable things. Look at verses 27 and 28 of Proverbs chapter 3, and notice what is given here by way of instruction. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due. When it is in the power of your hand to do so, do not say to your neighbor, go and come back and tomorrow I will give it when you have it with you. Can you envision a person doing that? Here your neighbor knocks on the door. Now this is just a very simple example. Your neighbor knocks on the door and says, I need a cup of sugar. Well, you've got 5 pounds of sugar, but you're kind of stingy. And you say, well, listen, let me think about that a little bit. Could you come back this afternoon? Could you come? Oh, we wouldn't do that, would we? No. James talks about that because he knows what is really involved in faith and in works. So in James chapter 2, when he is talking about the benefit of faith that is coupled with works, he has this to say in James 2 and verse 15. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? What does it profit? An old preacher friend of mine, and I remember his illustration so well, he said, what if in the congregation we have a sister in Christ that is ill. She has 3 or 4 babies. And you go to her house to console and to visit her. And here maybe the window shade is hanging by a thread. And the house is dirty. And the sink is full of dirty dishes. And as my old preacher friend used to say, and the children need their seat covers changed. Do you look around and say, well, I sure hope you get well soon, and if I can do anything, just let me know. Can you make that application to other situations in your life? Oh, it is wonderful, I think, the care and concern that we have for each other in this congregation. I revel in it. Betty and I have just been recipients of so much of your love and care during times of illness and even from the time that we first moved here. And I've seen that same kind of outpouring of love and care one for the other among all of the members of the congregation. But you know, that's exactly what Galatians chapter 6 is telling us. When a brother comes into the building and we are speaking to each other and we say, well, how are you doing? How was your week? Do you listen to hear what that one has to say? Maybe they don't want to tell you everything, but, you know, it is good that we don't just have habits of speech, that we don't just say, how are you doing, whenever really we're not interested in how one another are doing. And, of course, it goes the other way. Do not be proud to where when you really, really need something that you do not let others know. Do you know, I have known of situations where maybe an individual needs a ride in order to get to church services. But they say, well, I don't want to bother others. And in reality, the others are just so much wanting to help them. And I can't think of a greater good that could be done than for you to be present for worship, for Bible study, and just because you need a ride, just because you need someone to help you. Well, we have to let others know of our needs, don't we? And let's not ever get to the place where we say, oh, well, I just don't want others to be bothered. Be fair with one another. Take care of everything that you can take care of for yourself. But when you need help, let others know. And those of us who are able to help, let us always be looking for every opportunity to do good, especially to those of the household of faith. All right, well, I know you get the idea then about this word opportunity. What else do we have an opportunity to do? We all have opportunities. Now, this is one of those daily things. We all have opportunities to study the Word of God. Do you know what a joyful opportunity that is? Have you ever stopped to think about the goodness of God in giving us the Bible? What would your life be like if you didn't have the Bible? Have you ever thought about that? You know, I've been in places in the world where Bibles have been scarce. But you stop and think about the goodness of God. He is our loving Father. As our loving Father, He wants us to know His will. He wants all men to know His will. We are assured that we're able to understand the Bible. Ephesians 5 and verse 17, wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. As newborn babes, Peter says in 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, as newborn babes, desire earnestly the sincere milk of the Word. Who is to study? Who ought to study the Bible? Young people. I hope all of you young people now have opened your ears and said, now what is Brother Tope going to tell us about young people knowing the Word of God? Does the Bible tell young people anything about that? Look over at Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And notice that this is addressed to young people. Verse 11. Psalm 119 and verse 11. It tells us that young people ought to really be studying the Bible. You have school assignments. You have homework that you have to do. Do you know what should be part of your homework every day? To study the Bible. And this is what verse 9 of Psalm 119 says. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. How do you protect yourself, young people? Well, verse 11 says, your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Do you know that will work? If you're studying the Bible every day, as a young person, you're facing temptation that is out there in the world. Other young people are wanting you to smoke. They're wanting you to drink. They're wanting you to engage in illicit sex. They're wanting you to lie. They're wanting you to steal. They're wanting you to try marijuana. And the list just goes on and on and on. What do you need to do to cleanse yourself? What do you need to do to keep from sinning against God? Hide God's Word in your heart. Read God's Word. Make an application of it to yourself. Are you saying right now, I'm glad I'm not young? I don't have to pay any further attention to Brother Tope. I studied the Bible when I was a kid, and I don't have to study it anymore. Everybody has to study the Bible. You think you're an old smarty pants and you already know all the Bible you need to? You don't know nearly enough. You don't know nearly enough. Do you know the wisest people I've ever known are those people who have said, I don't know enough of God's Word yet. I don't know enough of God's Word yet. You people, you business people, do you have problems at work? Oh, we just talked about that in the men's class, didn't we, just a few minutes ago. How do you know what to do? God's Word. What is God's Word? Well, here in Psalm 119, it tells us what God's Word did. Verses 104 and 105. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And that's what it is. That's what it is. What is God's Word worth? Well, Psalm 19, really, from verses 7 through 11, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Listen, more to be desired are they than gold. Yea, and much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. And moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there's great reward. That's God's Word. How often to take advantage? How often do we have opportunity? Don't the book of Psalms start off in a good way? Blessed is the man. Oh, who is he who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in, I like that word, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. Whatever he does will prosper. I wish all of you could have known Sister Frosty McCoy. What a name, Frosty. Frosty's not with us anymore. She's gone on. I would say to Betty, I think I ought to go over and visit Frosty and cheer her up. Didn't work that way. I would come in. Now, Frosty was on up in years. When I came into her small house, into her living room, do you know what was open on the footstool? Her old, worn-out Bible. It didn't matter what day I called on Frosty. I went there to encourage her. Do you know who got the encouragement? Oh, I could talk about the weather to Frosty. Who better to talk to about the weather than Frosty? But you know, she didn't want to talk about the weather very long. Do you know what she wanted to talk to me about every time? She'd say, Gene, I've been studying this passage of Scripture. What does it mean? We'd talk about that. We'd talk about that. Do you know that the weather and the cost of groceries and the football scores and everything, I think Frosty could have talked about any of those things, but that wasn't what she wanted to talk about. She wanted to talk about the Bible. How about you? How about you? Do you value the opportunity, young people, middle-aged people and older people, do you value the opportunity that God gives you to hear His Word, to study? Oh, you say, when I'm retired. That's when I'm really going to start studying the Bible. Who are you fooling? Who are you fooling? If you're given the opportunity every day to study the Bible and you're not doing it, do you really think you're going to start studying whenever your glasses no longer see as well as they should, and your hearing is no longer as good as it should, and you want to fall asleep after about 10 minutes of sitting? No, sir. No, sir. You better take advantage of the opportunities that are given, and I don't care how busy your day is, you better take advantage of studying this Word of God that is more precious than much fine gold. We have opportunities to teach others. How do I know? You say, well, I sure hope that this congregation grows and I hope somebody teaches the lost. Hey, you missed it. You missed it. Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. The New American Standard, in verse 5, where yours may say, redeeming the time, it says, making the most of the opportunity. Making the most of the opportunity. You may not go to Walmart with me as often as I go, but you know, every time you go to Walmart, you've got an opportunity to teach. Yes, you do. And every day at work, do you know you've got opportunities that are presented to you to teach? Now, sometimes I gladly admit some opportunities are better than others. But have you met somebody who was lost and you talked to them about a lot of different things, and then you came away with a kind of a sinking feeling, and you ask yourself, what good did that conversation do? Did I join with them in complaining about the price of gasoline? Is that what our conversation consisted of? Was it a matter of talking about who won the football game? Is that what our conversation was about? Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, no bitterness there, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Oh, what a challenge is presented to you every day. When you wake up of a morning, just stop and think. What opportunity will be given me today? You young people can do this. What opportunity is going to be given to me today at school so I can talk to one of my friends about the church of our Lord Jesus Christ? They're going to be talking to you about what they've done. Do you want to talk to them about the fact that you're engaging in such a good Bible study, and that these are the activities that you're participating in? How about us older folks? Someone says, oh, we're going to a christening this weekend. Do you ever stop and ask why? Why are you going to christen that baby? Oh, that's what our church does. We need to give that baby a name. I'm going to a funeral. Do you know funerals are one of the golden opportunities that are given to you to talk to people about their souls and about eternity? Good times or bad, that's the time, that's the opportunity. But your speech has to be seasoned with salt. It has to be graceful speech. Take advantage of every opportunity. There's lots of other opportunities. You have an opportunity to be saved. You have an opportunity. The Bible says, now is that opportunity. Look over at 2 Corinthians. I just love the way Paul states this, because he knows our tendency to procrastinate, to put off. He says then in verses 1 and 2 of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain, for he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now that certainly applies to the alien sinner. That applies to everyone who is not yet a Christian, who has not yet seen fit, for whatever reason they may have offered, for not confessing their faith in Christ. You talk about opportunities. Could you think of a better opportunity that is presented to such a person tonight to stand before this audience of people and say, I want you to know that I believe Jesus is the Son of God? You know, there was a time in young Timothy's life when he did that. 1 Timothy 6 said that Timothy had made a good confession before many witnesses. I wonder how many folks there were there that were in that gathering when Timothy stood up and said, I want you to know that I believe Jesus is the Son of God. Paul reminded him years after. He said, you remember that good confession and you fight the good fight of faith. So not only is the Bible's invitation, opportunity given to those who are not yet Christians, that opportunity is given to us. It's given to those who are growing weak in faith. This is the opportunity in this life to strengthen your faith, to overcome your failures. This is the opportunity, the day of salvation to those who have fallen away.